Good evening, Pittsburgh. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's late-night talk show, coming to you from the Center for Media Innovation at Point Park University in beautiful downtown Pittsburgh. Visit us at bergvivant.com for more on this interview and our complete archives in the Vivant Vault, as well as how you can help support our program and Pittsburgh's vibrant cultural landscape.
Billy Hartung, welcome back to Point Park.
Thank you. Thank you.
You, as I, we were both graduates of this place.
Yes. Now, there was one shuttle when I was a student here at Point Park.
I think they got two more by the time I came around.
And now they own downtown.
And now, look, there's pillows with Point Park
there's
written on
Point
them.
Park and then the Point.
There's martinis. I mean, so much has changed. And I can remember when I was a student here, you actually came to talk to my class. And I'll, you know, spare both of us, it was just at least a decade ago.
Yeah.
But you look exactly the same.
Oh,
this is incredible.
Well, thank you.
Is it all that dancing and everything that kind of keeps you young?
It's six kids later. That's what it does.
Amazing. Because you could pass out a headshot from 1999 and get away with it. I really do think.
Well, thank you.
We have an example here on the very nice Big Fish postcard I received in the mail recently from Front Porch Theatricals. They really zoomed in on you there.
I noticed. Yeah.
Yeah.
They said, would you trust a guy like this with your heart? Because that's what we're going to be doing.
We'll talk about that in a minute. But you've done a heck of a lot since you graduated here from Point Park. I remember seeing you in the Chicago film. With Catherine Zeta-Jones and Richard Gere.
Yeah.
And that kind of came from a Point Park connection in a roundabout way, didn't it?
In a roundabout way, you know, the Playhouse had a professional company upstairs in the Rockwell.
Yeah.
And so we always, and you know, we were on crew for lots of stuff. So over time, we would eventually get to audition. And I ended up auditioning to be in a show that Rob Marshall, who had directed Chicago, his partner was the lead. It was Leader of the Pack. Danny Herman choreographed it, directed it. He was a blast, had a great time. But as the story goes, John kept saying, this guy Billy's dancing behind me all the time, and everything's full out. He never marks. He's always sweating harder than anyone else. And it makes me I'm 15 years older than this kid. And John was like, well, that's good for you. That's good for you. So I didn't really know those stories were going home. But about 6 months later, I auditioned for Damn Yankees in New York with Jerry Lewis, which was Rob was directing, choreographing that. Or choreographing it. So I went up and he kept me all day, 120 dancers later, down to the last 11. And he came out and all he goes, I know you, I know you. I said, well, I said, I met you through John in Leader of the Pack. And he goes, that's it, you're that guy. I said, well, he goes, that guy, he never stops moving. Like you're always in.
So hired?
Was it No, I didn't get the job.
Oh, wait.
And the funny part of that is the answer after all day was, if you tumble, stay. If you don't, you can go now. And I don't tumble, but I wasn't leaving, so I stayed.
You could have been a quadruple threat if you
I tumbled. And there are people
one that nobody talks about.
Nobody talks
is
about.
Tumbling.
So I stayed, and there are people that really do tumble, and then there's my version of tumbling. I was a martial artist. I could fly through the air, do things with my body. So I run, I flip, I spin, I split, I stand up. Everything I could possibly think of to say, you could use me in your show.
One piece of advice we get out to the kids in this business, learn how to tumble.
Learn how to tumble. It makes a big difference. But after I stood up and there saw those little birdie stars that you see when you try to do that, they said, Billy, you don't tumble. And I said, well, I know that. They said, but we would like to keep you in our files. We just will never expect you to do that. So just relax a little bit. But that went a long way because he had me come back for Forum with Whoopi Goldberg. Still didn't get it. Worked with Nathan Lane. Still didn't get it. But I got an invited call for this little movie called Chicago to be filmed in Toronto. It was not the Academy Award winning movie at the time. It was this arty film. He invited about 200 dancers, and I was one of those. And after a day, he just was like, we're getting there. You come back tomorrow. And I said, all right, I came back. And then he gave me a hug at the end, and I believe he said, it's time. But you don't say that till your agent calls you and says, you got the job.
Yeah,
so I waited about 3 days to go, did I get the job? Did I not? So I did. I spent 3 months in Chicago, or in Toronto filming Chicago.
Yep.
With an amazing experience, with some amazing dancers, Broadway's.
And the film did well.
that little film did
really
well.
You know, so good for you.
Yeah.
But it, I saw, too, a photograph of you somewhere. It was a black and white, and you were elbow to elbow with Liza Minnelli, which I have to say is something that I aspire to achieve. So what was that all about?
Liza is a dear, dear person and has become a friend. And she was honoring her father in a musical called Minnelli on Minnelli. So everyone always said, you know, Liza, you should sing your mom's songs. And she didn't want to, but she could sing the songs from her father's films. So MGM's 36 movies later.
Yeah.
So she got to sing her face off, but she wanted to be surrounded by the Gene Kellys, the Michael Kidds, the Fred Astaires. Yeah. So she had, again, an invited call. Mostly, she saw me dance in a musical, Follies, at Paper Mill with Ann Miller and Donna McKechnie, and it was a great little dance feature. But when I came to the audition, I was doing Footloose on Broadway, and our first child was due opening night. So she said, it's first week of December we open. I said, having a baby, can't do it. First kid.
Wow.
She goes, no, I really want you in the show.
Liza
I'm honoring. Yeah, she goes, I'm honoring my father. I said, I can't
God,
do
that is
your
so
show.
Difficult. You got a kid on one, Liza on the other.
Yeah,
she
but
like
she
Sophie's
said,
choice.
But she's such a good person, and she's like, I will hire someone to learn your part, and if you have this baby and can't be there, we will be fine. And it was a limited run, so that's an expense. I mean, it wasn't a world run; it was a limited run. So Elizabeth was born opening night.
Wow.
Yeah, and the next day I missed the show, and she announced to the audience that Billy had a little girl, and her name is Liza Lou.
Oh my God, really?
No, her name's Elizabeth Louise. It's the middle names of our mothers.
But
but she grabbed
she
it right away.
She
grabbed it, she said, Liza Lou. And Fred Ebb, who is a dear friend to her, and he was like, he goes, Billy, keep this going. She could be the godmother of your first child. She could be set forever. But she was very, very good to us. And we brought her on stage at the end on the Palace Theater. We brought her out for a big bow with Liza. Crowd went crazy, but it was about fathers and daughters, and that moment had actually happened for me, and she could not have been more emotionally authentic and sincere. That was beautiful.
That is a great story, and of course I'm picturing it all like in Liza's voice. You know?
Oh,
it's Liza Lou, she's here, everybody.
That's exactly what it was.
This is the movie was going through my head. That's fascinating. But Liza Lou was not your only or last child. You got six kids.
No, my wife and I, Sharon, who I met here in Pittsburgh and dated all through Point Park, we stayed together the whole time. We moved home after about 10 years in New York, and I bought the house I grew up in. So Pittsburgh for me is my big dream bubble. I run a performing arts school that I studied at myself. Mm-hmm. I bought the house I grew up in off of my parents. The cultural district down here is exploding. I'm working more so now than initially when I moved here. I did a lot of shows. I worked at the City, I worked at the Public, worked with CLO, did some things with the Symphony. But more kids, six beautiful children later, eight shows a week was never the goal.
How do you manage it? That's what I can't.
They manage me.
Really?
They're a beautiful reminder of what I believe is important and what is the greatest role I feel I could ever have, which is to be their father.
Have any of them shown an interest in showbiz?
Yeah, Elizabeth, the oldest. Because I run a school called the Center for Theater Arts. They all go there, so they learn about Gene Kelly before Barney ever. You know, everything's
as every
about.
Child should. Thank you very much.
But Elizabeth just came back from New York. I took her up there. She had an 11-day camp, and if I could just be really proud of her, she killed it. She represented Pittsburgh really well. They wanted to know if she had plans on staying or if she was going to finish school. So I was proud of her, but I stayed out of the way. I really did, and she fought her way through and did real well.
Well, with Liza's blessing, you know, I think she's off to a great start.
Sure,
that's
sure.
a wonderful story. And to have you back now performing with Front Porch Theatricals and Big Fish coming up here in just a couple weeks is really incredible. You're playing Edward Bloom. The central figure of the piece. Now, I have never seen this musical, but I love the movie. I love the movie. I wept like a baby when I saw this movie, so I'm really looking forward to seeing their show. Now, have you seen the film?
I have seen the film.
How does the show measure up, though?
The musical itself is it's a buffet for your feelings because the music is playing your heart. I believe that. And it takes you to a place where the imagery can also be your own life. It doesn't have to be just what we're doing. The movie was stylistically brilliant through the eyes of the director. And you saw the film he wanted you to see, the fantastic story element. The novel is also very different. So you have three, a novel, a film, and now a stage play, that have very different given circumstances. And our job right now is to find out what circumstances we're going to honor so we're all in the same play.
And you're in rehearsals now, so presently you are really figuring it out.
In about 20 minutes, I'll be a ball of sweat. Yeah. Or a ball of tears,
no
depending
tumbling,
on what happens.
This is very exciting. You've got a great cast, great director, Spencer Whale directing.
Phenomenal. And, brilliant.
This is the second half of Front Porch Theatrical season. We had Violet, which opened to rave reviews here a couple.
And I had a chance to see it too.
It was
beautiful.
I did. Beautiful. I don't get out to see much, but I did get out to see that, and I really want to check this out. How does this differ from any part that you've tackled before? You said it deals a lot with emotion.
Wow.
Is this pulling new strings?
Yeah. As a younger actor, although I appreciate the compliment that I haven't aged, but I have often played the villain or the sinister one because I looked hopeful, and that then disappointed an audience often. They rooted.
Evil wears many faces.
And I worked that well for a long time. So I would be cast in those roles. Mm. I did the maths and the fantastics, and I've carried my gardenias and have sung my ballads. Where this is really, really different for me is I stepped away for a while, not because I resisted my heart, the art of theater, but because I embraced the given circumstances of my life. I want to be a father. I don't want to hear about it. And so for me, I had said yes to producers for a long time and casting directors for a long time and agents for a long time. And also, of course, collaborated with my wife on what kind of life do we want. Mm-hmm. Where this changes is I was kind of reined back in from a father who said, I have this company. I know you're busy. I want you to read this script. And I said, well, you're right, is I'm busy and I'm a father and I also have 28 employees and I don't think I can do it. But he was very sincere in Leon Zients, one of the producers. And he said, just read it. He didn't say, I want to make you be a star in my show. Never came out, which I liked. He never said, this is where like Billy Hartung can come back into the scene. He never said that. He said, I think you would enjoy this story. So I was very busy and I said no for about 3 weeks straight. But I read it. What I believe resonates with me is that men today are either in film or in media, television, morally corrupt or buffoons. And they're not. There's a lot of us that are trying to balance right, wrong, could be, maybe, mistakes, triumphs. And there's no fanfare, there's no applause, there's no review. And this reeks of choices. That's all I wanted. That's why I worked so hard to be successful in my eyes of my family, was to have choices. When I watch Edward Bloom, he's making choices. He's making choices because he loves his wife. He makes choices because he loves his son. And he makes his choices because he also loves himself. You can love yourself and go on a journey and then try to figure out how to bring everyone else with you, right? They may not understand. They might say, he's gone again. There he goes again. He's talking to himself again. Really? Do we need you to do that? But the guy that comes back has more to share and he has more to offer. In that, my daughters are responsible for me doing the show because I told my wife in the kitchen, I don't see how it's gonna happen. We won't go on vacation if I do it. I'm gonna go right back to the busiest time of the year. But my two older daughters who know the show, knew the film, saw the musical, said, you have to do it. I said, well then you have to help me take care of a family of eight. They said, but no dad, one of the high schools had done it. And they said, we saw it, you are him. You have this whole life, Dad. For 20 years, you worked with Liza Minnelli, Cheetah Rivera. You have Uncle Norman, Uncle Hugh. We don't even know if they're real.
That's true, yeah.
And we believe you. And yet, all he's doing is saying to his kid, you know what? Here's the metaphor I'm trying. Or here's what I want you to remember.
Yeah.
And they said, you raising us exactly the way he does in the show. And I said, well, I didn't really look at it that way. And they said, well, if you can't see that, we're gonna graduate soon. We would not have watched our dad be an actor.
Wow.
So what are you gonna do? So then I called Leon and he was the toughest negotiator I've ever had. We met at Eaton Park, and the rest is now we're rehearsing. And the only thing I will say, and I love this cast, for me, which is just a slice of life, and if actors can't share it, then, you know, what are we really going to do, hide behind paper? My father passed away 10 days ago.
Oh, my God.
And my life with him was beautiful and brilliant and exciting and fun. But in March, I didn't know that when I start a rehearsal in July, that I will have just come out of that. And Leon and Nancy came to the funeral, and they were like, we're good, we're here. And it's real, it's true. We don't need that from you, but we understand that. So I think their front porch is really that. It's not just a hit show. I don't think it's what's important and what's relevant. And who we let on it are also very important to us. So I told Sharon the other day, I said, it's only 5 weeks. I wouldn't mind if it was six. I mean, I wouldn't mind if it was seven. It's fun. To answer your question, this heart is bigger. It's not stronger. It's strong, but it's bigger because I've let these kids in and they've shared their feelings with me. And so when I look at my own life now with my father, the stories we're telling, that funeral laughed. We had accordion polka music playing and took over the place and we laughed and thought, how do you laugh? We had to explain to the grandkids, it's okay that we're laughing, we know. But yes. He had an amazing life and amazing stories. And that's all he wants his son to know is, you know, it's okay if you don't like me, but you can love me and figure out where this goes. So that's what we're playing. It's emotional. Every day I go home and I'm tired. Yeah. And I'm not tired really from the dancing, although yesterday we danced a lot. Yeah. What I am tired is the shifting of gears, of the ages and the honesty and the sincerity. You know, and Christiane, who plays my wife in the show, is a beautiful actress. And really, when I had my first work session with her, which would ultimately between the creative team and myself decide, am I going to be able to do this? I found her to be, who is also a mother, is also an actress from Point Park, trained from the same people, Shirley Tannenbaum, John, you know, we're speaking the same language and wanting to just tell the story.
Yeah. So this is an incredible fit. There's so many layers to this.
There's a lot going
I'm
on.
I'm thrilled for you.
Thank you.
Hearing your background, I am triply excited to see this.
A friend of mine in New York, when I took Elizabeth, she goes, you should be like deliciously nervous. And I said, well, that's a great way. It is delicious. But there's a lot there, you know.
And
I would say, I tell you, no acting allowed. The show.
Just
do the show.
August 18th through 27th, Big Fish from Front Porch Theatricals, book by John August, music and lyrics by Andrew Lippa. We will see you there, sir. And all the best. Break a leg.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Indeed.
As always, thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Be sure to watch our video portion of this segment and more at bergvivant.com. We'll see you here next week on Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's late night talk show.